Hallelujah. Can we stand up with our Bibles? Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and 1 verse 15. Are we there? That is our text. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, amen. Just a way of tradition of standing up when we want to read a text we want speaking from. We stand up reverently. It also prepares us to know that it is time to focus so that we remove all distractions. Chapter 8, verse 15, Romans. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. And we are looking at a topic that I'm introducing today that I titled The Adoption of the Believer. And my prayer is that somebody here will understand what I'm trying to bring out here, and all we want to achieve is to make you take your eternal destination more seriously. And particularly serious with this topic because the entire message, William Branham preached a message, a very popular message we quite often make reference to, the title, The Adoption. That was the title, The Adoption. And in that message, it preached it in several parts, a very long message. In that message, William Branham brought it up and took it to a future event that will take place just before the rapture. A serious revival that will take place. Something he himself, from what he saw in the spirit, he desired that he will be part of it. A glorious estate of the church. Linking it to what the Bible called a quick, a short, and powerful work he will do. Now, that is the prophet. I'm picking the same thing. I said that I looked at that topic of adoption again. In the last part of the last message I finished, I made mention of it. And it was going to take me away from the focus of the message. So I held on so that I don't digress too far. So that I can come back and talk more elaborately in it. I have found out that the adoption cannot just be pushed to the future. That adoption starts first as an individual. So let's look at what is adoption. The word to adopt is to take somebody's child and become a legal parent of that child. Amen. To take somebody's child and become a legal parent of that child. So legally speaking, that child becomes your own child. You become the father, the mother of that child. The child was not your child. It's not biologically yours, but becomes yours legally. And adoption has a process you undergo to become a legal parent. There is a law that governs adoption of anybody. There are two words that are used for the purpose of salvation. Number one in the scripture is redemption, to redeem. And another word is adopt, adoption. And these two words are used by the Spirit of God to give you an understanding of how you relate with God. Your relationship with God. So, he uses the word redeem. Hallelujah. He uses the word redeem. Okay. Let's do the word first. Adoption. He uses the word adopt. Listen. He uses the word. What I'm saying is deep. Please listen very well. Because I always said it. I didn't read this in any book. This was quickened to me. So, there is a way I will present it that you will even go deeper in the understanding than what I am saying. Because if it's a revelation from the Spirit, then it will give an anchor to it in your heart. You just pick it there and the light will shine more and more and more and more. Adopt. That is why also, when you read the Bible, you must not be dogmatic in the interpretation. You don't just say, it must be like this. When you do that, very soon you will jam something else that will shake you off what you were saying. So you have to look at the word adopt is used first and foremost to bring you to an estate of worthlessness. Look at somebody who was suffering somewhere because you have no hope, no father, no mother. That is an orphan. No helper, nothing. Anybody could deal with you. You have no address. You have no identity because you don't have a surname. And that is how every one of us is spiritually. When God wants you to understand His love, He uses the word adoption. And you were nothing. And all of a sudden, God came and adopted you. And He became your father. And gave you a spirit of sonship that now you can relate to Him as a father and a child. Now He presents the word adoption so that you will appreciate salvation. That God should love a sinner such as I. That God should love a sinner such as a. When you look at your past testimony, how worthless you have been. And to see that God Himself came down, suffered to look for a worthless person like me. Then it gives you reason to appreciate Him, appreciate His love. So when He wants to win you to Him, He comes by the revelation of adoption. Then after you have grown now, listen church, you are now established in a relationship with Him. Then He goes deeper to tell you that you are not just adopted. You are redeemed. Now, the gospel has gone beyond, oh, I was worthless. Oh, I was worthless. Oh, I was worthless. His, you know, there will be one fear that you could have that maybe one day I could lose my salvation. One day this man feel vexed. This God feel throw me away. Then you are still afraid of him. Then you are still living. Like some people teach, you can lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation. Then He comes and tells you, say, I have redeemed you. I am your redeemer. Now, what is the meaning of redeem? Redeem is something that was yours originally, but you lost it. To bring you back, the process of buying you back is called redeem. You can only redeem something that was originally yours. So He's taking you back to predestination. Hallelujah. Now that is why people like Deeper Life and other people that preach salvation, they just hang on adoption. And when you begin to tell them that once you are saved, forever you are saved, it confuses them. But our eyes of understanding, God has opened it for us. That is what gives you the confidence to walk with this God. He brings you by that revelation of redemption to know that there is a relationship, father-son relationship. If you were worthless, if you did not belong to him before, he wouldn't have stepped down from eternity and suffered all the things he suffered. You are so precious to him, and he cannot go that length, buy you back, and then purchase you, pay the price, and you think he will lose you. He will not lose you. Now, that keeps you to understand now that whom he loves, be ready for a father-son-child relationship. Now, if you commit anything, you will not go free. As you will not allow your child to misbehave, so also he, God, will not allow you to misbehave because you belong to him. Those of us, the Bible says, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Then he added, let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You have to understand the process of salvation. It gives you knowledge of a position you are in spiritually. Not because you confess Jesus. Not because you know there is power in the name of Jesus. But because, hallelujah, there is a platform, a position you occupy in the kingdom of God. It's not the position of a servant. It is a position of a son. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. I just wish it took me time. I was telling my wife throughout the week. I said there is a topic in my heart, but I cannot get inspiration to put it down. And I was getting very, very frustrated. Very, very frustrated. And then when we were eating in the dining table, my wife will remember that. The day before yesterday or so. And suddenly he began to speak. And I shouted, I told my wife, bring Bible, bring paper quickly. Bring Bible, bring paper quickly. He's talking, he's saying something to me. I said, that inspiration I was looking for, he has come. He has come. I rushed to get Bible and paper and was jotting down some things. He was just giving me the picture clearer and clearer. Praise the Lord. And when I was studying, Joseph came to the dining table. He said, since you sit down for this dining table, he said, Bill, I say you want fire us tomorrow. I say, you are a prophet. I am a teacher. A prophet. Pray, pray, pray. You have to be praying, pray your own prayer. Me, my own study. So go do your prayer. Leave me to study. Now my own I did too. So what I'm telling you is from above. And God will confirm it by quickening it also to you. It will help you. All this fear, fear with fear. Fear demons. Fear evil uncle. Fear evil, you fear death. You fear death because you are not sure of your origin. You are not sure of your origin. If anything happens now, there are two groups of people. And they say, make everybody run. Back, go back to your village. Those who get better houses for their village, they don't care. If I say, we go, I will go. Even I have better accommodation in my village than in Lagos here. But those who will not get house for village, they will begin to purge, and even epilepsy will catch them. Go where? Go where will I go? Go to which village? That is how it is. Unbelievers are afraid of death because they don't know where they are going. But you here, you have a place in the kingdom. And because of it, the type of fear they fear is not the type of fear you will fear. Therefore, hypertension that comes from worry will not be your portion. Because there's nothing to worry to that level for. I said, the worst you can do to me is to kill me. And if you kill me, number one, you will kill me because of the ministry. They killed the early apostles. Did the gospel die? So if it is the gospel you are fighting by killing me, then go back and see whether killing a man of God can stop God's purpose. Now secondly, if you kill me because of the gospel, if I die because of the gospel, you have given me a big portion in heaven. A real soldier, not this Nigerian soldier, so real soldier, the pride of a soldier is that you die in a battlefield. It's a shame for a soldier to die from drinking beer. Because once you enter the military, you have signed your death warrant. Yes. You are ready to die for the nation. Not for yourself, for the nation. When you become a Christian and a minister, you have also entered a battlefield and anything can happen. And you should be ready for anything to happen. Praise the Lord. Oh, this one, small hunger could just happen then. We look left, right, say, my person not die with this hunger. I said, hit and small here, then come back again. Father, have mercy. Man, no go die like that. You're not ready for the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Let's get the full picture there. Romans chapter 8. I read it from verse 14. And I'm going to read it up to verse 17. Just to get a picture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we are now talking about leadership. Leadership. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? That's where I am going. Then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with who? Oh, verse 17. All of us. I want us to read it and read it together. Shall we go? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. My emphasis in this verse is heir. Heir. We are heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Christ. Apostle Paul put it again in Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 29. This is the way he put it. He says, and if you be Christ, if you're a Christian, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Go to chapter 4 again. Verse 6 and verse 7. He said, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying what? Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What is heir? Heir there is talking about inheritance. Your position. It means all that the Father has belongs to you. So, I don't know how we are going to explain this for the people to get excited over. If you sing the song and you don't even ponder about the meaning, we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. That song came from a deep meditation. And he said, we are joint heirs with Christ. Because Christ inherited all things, being the firstborn. The Bible did not say he's the only son. He refers to him as the first begotten of the Father. If there is first, then there are other children. And only one person cannot inherit your father's property. It is shared among the children. Look at the authority that Christ has. He derived that authority from the Father. And God is telling us that the first son received that authority. All other children will receive the same authority. Joint heirs. Inheritance. Oh, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying this so that you now understand the adoption I'm talking about. In Galatians chapter 4. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 4. I'll read the first 7 verses there. Now I say that the heir, and I've told you who the heir is. Okay? He said, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Because you are still a child. Because we are still children. Hallelujah. So, what does the Father do? This is what the Father do, verse 2. He places him under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Every heir, every father that has a child that will inherit things from him, he's interested in your upbringing. When the man, Papa, you gave birth to your first son, you, from the day he came forth from the mother's womb, you know, you look at him as the person that will take over from you. But, hallelujah, although he is a child, though he is a child, amen, hallelujah, he is a Lord, he is a Lord, he is a Lord, but he differs not from those other servants. Though he is the Lord of that household, but because he's a child, there will be no difference between him and the servant in that house. Because authority has not yet been given to him. The Father will now place his servants to be watching over him. Then, at the appointed time, and who sets the appointment? Is the Father himself, based on the report he has been receiving from the tutors and governors. That is when he cannot commit power and authority. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And people who understand that, I give you an example. Our brother that came to speak to us here, a billionaire with companies everywhere. And somebody asked him one time during question and answer in a program I attended. He said, "What is your plan for succession? All these multi-billionaire investments all over the world. Can we know as a businessman, what is your plan for succession? Who will succeed you? Are your children in your company? Are you placing them? You know, we are waiting to hear." Then he said, this is what he has done. You know, he's an intermediate believer. We pick our own from the Bible. He told us that his first son, he said, as at now, he said, the group managing director of his company, group managing director, he is the chairman. Then he appointed a group managing director. He's a Yoruba man. He is an Igbo man. He employed him. What of your sons? He said, none of his children is working in the company. His first son, he said, is working in a bank. We asked, why did you send him to a bank? He said, he has sent him there to learn responsibility. So that he will work hard there and earn promotion in the system. So that he can be responsible. He will learn how to do corporate governance. He said, if you bring him to the group, he said, you can't have no money. It's my father's company. It's my father's company. He said, and he will learn nothing. So he's preparing him under tutors. He is here, and one time he will call the managing director. How about my son? How is he doing? Don't give him preferential treatment, oh, please. I brought him there. I want to know his report. Is he performing? He will receive promotion. They will give him targets to meet. And because he's under training, they will put more pressure on him. You see? He learned it from there. What of the Queen of England, the family, the royal family? You see, the whole world are watching them. Prince, is it Harry? That was in the military. Is it Charles? No. The grandchild. It's a Harry. I think they said next week or so he will be retiring. When I first saw him, he entered the military academy. He trained there. The day he was commissioned with his mates, he was there. They were sending people to Iraq. He was among the soldiers that were sent to Iraq. He was getting his promotion from one rank to the other, together with his mates. He was earning it. He was a fighter pilot. With jets, he will bomb places, enter all that risk. Because a king must know how to fight. You are training him to see responsibility, to see what soldiers go through, so that when you become a king, you will know what the military is suffering. That is it. And then they are bringing a report to the queen, to the family. And they are watching him. And that is what God also does with his own family. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see the fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some, all the fivefold. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. Why? The saints must be perfected. Because in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfection usage here is maturity. responsibility, perfection. God is perfect. He does not do his things haphazardly. He does it perfectly because he's a God of principles. So you cannot be acting anyhow because you say, I have power. No. Jesus Christ made this statement in John chapter 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so he came to show us the way. So he's an example that every one of us is to follow. And then you will understand in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Oh, before then, let's get it first. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What did he do? Jesus, the first Son of God, increased in knowledge, in wisdom, and stature and in favor with God. He increased. It means he grew. He grew. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He said, you therefore, beloved, say you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. His emphasis is grow. The key word there is grow. Grow. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. We're talking about grow. 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 Therefore, he said, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Go on. Move forward. Move forward to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. First Peter again, chapter 2. So that you'll understand. The emphasis here is we must grow. Verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He said, as newborn babes, when you are born again, you are a new baby. What should you desire? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so be, you have tested that the Lord is gracious. Gracious. You cannot remain a baby forever. You cannot remain a baby forever. A child that is born today, the parents, the mother is worried if that child is not developing. A child was brought to my office during the vigil. They brought him from Abuja, 11 years old, but has the brain of a 3-year-old. And the parents are carrying him everywhere. They are worried. So also, God gets worried when his own child refuses to grow spiritually. You are still a baby. If after so many years of coming to Christ, you have no faith unless you meet your pastor, your prophet for prayers, for everything. You're still a baby. It's a baby that cries to get the attention of the mother because he cannot express himself. So if all you do before God now cry. When something happens, you go sit down, they cry. Father, is this how we die? Father, is this how we die? Will you leave me like this? Ah, Papa, ah, Father, every time. You are a baby. Still a baby. Moses was crying like that one time. And God asked him, Moses, why are you crying? What do you have in your hand? Did I give you that stick to be killing people? Hallelujah. He said, speak. He didn't say cry. That's evident you're still a baby.